football on off the ball.
I would definitely have a question about you. Am I okay saying you're committed to Ireland? And he said, yes, no problem. So he is in our frame. He might be one that we would call in June.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50mg film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150mg tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Lots to come. Delighted you're with us. Andy Cole, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Welcome Adrian. Back. There'll be a rotating
you said
cast
it was
of
a beautiful Wednesday morning. It was freezing this morning.
Well, it can be freezing and beautiful at the same time.
I guess you're right.
But there'll be a rotating cast of people in this chair throughout the week just to welcome you back to the company. So
listen,
that's very much the
rolling
plan.
Rolling out the red carpet, all the big names coming out to see me. It's nice.
Darragh Smith-Nocton, how are you getting on?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you. Matthew Brennan, how's the crack?
Hi, Adrian.
Westmead Rising.
Yes,
we get that out of the way nice and early. And
we'll come back to it later on.
What's our, have we got like Yop Westmead, Westmead Rising? How do we get behind?
I actually don't know. I'm easy with it all.
We could, workshop something. Westmead, Irvi, Abu. It's a bit cliche.
Abu.
You save that for your Cavins and your Donegals.
Don't be tutting the Irish language like that.
No, I'm not tutting the Irish language.
A smack talk, by the way, out of this lad in the office yesterday about very happy with that draw.
Listen, of course they are.
That sort of stuff.
Of course they are.
That's actually, you misquoted me there.
An arrogance, nearly, Matthew, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. Huh? Listen, let them at it.
Quietly confident.
Quietly confident.
You can't just evade,
we don't have
everyone would have been happy with either of
we
us.
Don't have
in that
to, we don't have to worry about that for a while anyway. We've got some bigger things to be looking forward
to. We'd just be doing well to keep the ball kicked out to them, Matthew, to be honest with you. See we get on. But listen, you know, when you're parading around the office saying, Cavan for Sam.
Yeah, exactly. It's crazy stuff.
We'll let you know what's happened to the papers here and then we'll get into the game last night. We're going to start with the Irish Independent. Greatness within touching distance screams the headline here. Arsenal dig deep to book ticket to Champions League final and boost double hopes. Miguel Delaney's thoughts inside. Declan Rice. One of the heroes, maybe the hero of the night last night, stomping his way down the pitch after the full-time whistle. Lawler refuses to be drawn on future at Munster. This is the story Alan Quinlan was talking about the show yesterday, written up by David Kelly here. He's remained tight-lipped on whether he might be interested in applying for the attacking coach vacancy at Munster after his embarrassed bosses were forced to cancel Roger Randall's appointment last week. I think we're pretty sure that he'd have the law of sues for that. John Rahm set to play at the Irish Open after paying $3 million in fines. This was the news that I think every day I've been in the office for the last couple of months, I've expected somebody from the news desk to go, there it is. Mm. He's relented. And I think obviously events at LIV Golf over the last few days and week maybe particularly has forced his hand a little bit. But Brian Keogh says that Rahm is all but certain to tee it up in September's Amgen Irish Open at Doonbeg. After his standoff at the DP World Tour has come to an end. We might come to that in a little while. Irish Daily Mail. Double dream. Saka's tap-in sends title-chasing Arsenal to the Champions League final. Liv Rebel Ram pays millions to rejoin World Tour, says Riyad Al-Samara inside.
There's something a bit cutting about the Saka tap-in. It's a bit unnecessary.
That's unfair, isn't it?
It's a bit unnecessary.
Exactly
it was
what
a tap-in, but it's a bit like, you just tack a goal.
Accurately
job,
describing
know.
How the goal went.
But he had a lot of work to do to get that tap in.
He sensed the opportunity.
Yeah.
That's not to be taken
doesn't
lightly.
Doesn't work as a headline really though, does it?
Yeah.
But it's not what football's about.
Yeah.
The Irish Times is next step for Byrne is to become a player others look to in big games, says Gordon Darcy. Some of those quotes we'll get into with James Tracy in a little bit. Munster block out the noise to focus on injuries and Connacht. We'll go to the Examiner next, the Irish Examiner, and Saka sends Arsenal into the final. Double in view, you're more on board with that, Matt?
Yeah, that's better.
Double in view after dream 24 hours, says John West at the Emirates Stadium. It's incredible. More likely to happen now. Well, sorry, the double is probably still a very long shot, but... Hamer Hales, natural goal scorer Ume, obviously naming Jaden Ume in his squad yesterday. The championship playoff players out, so opportunity for a few more. And Kerry Donegal broadcast rights up for grabs is another story that John Fogarty has there. We might come back to you in a couple of moments' time. The Sun, they're simply the pest. Saka sets up final in Buda.
Yeah.
I was wondering.
I was with you there. Was it like a more shade at Arsenal that, you know, that were like a stone in the shoe as opposed to deserving of the place in the
Yeah, I would like to fact check that maybe because there, I don't know where the Puskás Arena sits.
Which side of Budapest?
Is it on Buda or is it in Pest?
Mm.
They could be.
I'll find that out.
Yeah. Great city.
Second there.
Yeah,
fantastic city. Yeah, I was over there not so long ago for Zigget.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
What's that?
So in between Buda and Pest, there's an island.
Okay. It's a sports island.
No,
they host a festival every year. Yeah, I was over there working. It did not suit my personality.
No. What working at it or being
No, the music at it.
Okay,
Charlie XCX was the lead, and I very soon realized into that concert that I was not the demographic for her music. So
yeah, but I think I'd be with you.
Didn't last the whole thing.
In the middle of the river.
Yeah. Okay. It's like in between. There's a bridge going over from, I think it's Pest.
Buda Hills.
I believe. That's the way I always think. I believe this is the Puskás Arena is in Pest.
They said it was in Buda. So.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. I mean,
I don't want to get in the way of a good pun.
Do you think the headline writer was
at 12 o'clock last night?
Kraken City. Team kicks Owen Kousarhamer. Haugumson believes Benfica attacker Jaden Nunez fast track can put his career into fast forward mode. And that is the Sun for you. The Telegraph is all guns blazing. Good morning to the anti-arson brigade, by the way, says Ronan Sands on YouTube. I mean, give us a chance, will you? All guns blazing. Arson book Champions League final spot on Emirates' greatest night. Borthwick keeps England job despite Six Nations flop. This is probably one we're not going to get to, Dara. But Steve Borthwick will lead England.
Yeah.
At the 2027 World Cup, following a review by the RFU, so they've said we have some issues, but he's fine. Is that it?
Yeah, I think the France game at the end of the tournament saved them because they put out a pretty decent performance. If I was an England fan, I don't think I'd be too happy personally.
Well, it'd be pretty radical at this stage, wouldn't it, to get rid of him for who?
Yeah, it'd be late in the cycle, but. Yeah, anyway, we don't have to get into it. I don't fancy him as an international head coach personally.
Sack of the net, that's better. Guns book their place in Champions League final, book by UK. It's all about Saka. Interesting to see the different takes on it. Barca in the hunt for Gordon. Barcelona have entered the race to sign Anthony Gordon, apparently. And Foden is set for a new City deal. Who scoffed? Which one are you scoffing?
Both of us scoffed.
I think we both. There's no possible way that is true.
The myth of Anthony Gordon.
No Sean McCormack, you know, believe that Barca's sporting director, Deco, and football coordinator, Bojan, have already met.
Bojan is their football coordinator?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's mad.
What age is Bojan? Can't be older.
He's in his late 30s.
He can't be 40.
Bojan Krkić.
Yeah. Do you remember that's Bojan?
Yeah.
It's mad.
He's only 35.
Wow.
Played for that mythical Stoke side,
yeah. Like six Champions League winners.
Fantastic side.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
That is the Star. And then, very lastly, the Times of London. Saka sets up Arsenal shattered history. Captain Pounce has sent Arteta's men into the Champions League final. Borthwick job safe. And Ram pays up for Ryder Cup. So it's Broadbent inside. It's an interesting story, and we will definitely get to that. Loads of comment about Arsenal. Dermot Keenan, good morning to you, Dermot. Fair play to Arsenal last night. Never looked like conceding a goal, and I thought Victor Gyökeres was excellent last night. Do you want to jump in on that particular talking point?
We were talking about him a good bit yesterday, actually, funnily enough, Victor Gyökeres. But yeah, he's divided opinion. I saw a lot of people were delighted with how he played, and a lot of people were saying this guy's still a bit of a chancer, so I don't know. His moments. He held the ball up really well there towards the end when they were... I was going to say under a bit of pressure, but they ended up not really under any pressure because they just killed the last 2 minutes of the game. But he won a foul there towards the end, and I suppose that's what he's there to do. I mean, that performance last night's not going to change my kind of opinion on him being grand. I think he's grand. Serviceable, you know.
He missed a couple very good chances at the same time. I thought he was really good in general. I said to you, I was like, last night I thought he played really well outside of the whole scoring goals thing. That's fairly important to his position.
Yeah.
A game like that probably suits him, doesn't it?
He did his job last night, so.
Yeah. I think he did exactly what they needed.
Yeah.
100%.
When you're playing Atletico Madrid in a semi-final, the last thing you need is somebody who's going to get bullied up front and not be able to hold the ball up and not be able to mix it with their defenders. And he got their defenders booked because they couldn't handle the strength. He got in behind them. He obviously got in behind for the goal as well, so... Look, he hasn't been fantastic this season, but he's been grand. And if you're grand for a title-winning season in the Premier League and a Champions League final, I mean,
he scored 21 goals in all competitions. Did I see that somewhere?
Yeah,
I think he's
right.
14 in the league.
Like,
that's fine.
That's not terrible. That's by any stretch of the imagination. And is there a possibility that they've also started to figure out how to use him properly? Like, even the directness of that ball last night from, was it Saliba that played it through to him? Like, there's a bit of a channel. The ball comes through. He runs off the shoulder. Like,
yeah.
And the ball was sumptuous. I know it takes a little, whichever defender it was, gets a little nudge on it, which was actually, if he'd left it, whoever was stood behind him probably would have cleared it. But it was a sumptuous ball.
Yeah, I think he needs that. That was highlighted before he came to the club as well, that they needed, like, his strengths are running in behind, getting onto balls. You don't get the opportunity to do that against a lot of the Premier League, which is probably the biggest issue with him. But just in general, like, he's also benefiting from the fact that Saka's back now, and that means Eze can play, and Ben White plays in the right back position now that Saka's back, so they've got protection there. And suddenly, you know, what a surprise, your best players are back and you're starting to play better. Like, that's kind of, like, there's so much talk about tactics and mentality and all this here, but the reality of it is, if you have your best players on the pitch, if they're the best players, they're probably going to end up winning. And that's sort of what's happening in Arsenal right now.
Yeah. What do we think of the last 2 minutes there? The impact of the subs and Arteta? I feel like every time they had a throw in Atletico, Arteta had his hand over the ball almost.
I don't mind. Listen, I'd be the first to jump on Arteta's back, but
I don't mind it.
You do what you have to do, yeah.
No,
yeah.
You don't.
I think you do.
Honestly, there's so much to praise about Arsenal and this Arsenal team. That is what, like, Arsenal fans, you see them in the comments already. They're wondering, the anti-Arsenal brigade, what are they going to say now? Yeah,
well, course. You're going to represent them, are
one
you?
One of the reasons people do not like Arsenal is because of their behaviour on the touchline. Like, you just don't, Arteta goes beyond the, you know, shouting and being, you know, loud and animated on the touchline. He actually interferes in the play. He blocked the Atletico players going for their throw-in, and then he does this thing where he pretends to give tactical advice when they're about to take a throw-in and
so
gets in the way of them taking a throw-in. That is going beyond.
Well, it wasn't coincidence that there was six subs or whatever it was that were lined up along the touchline, and they actually made a bollocks of it at one point. The ball went out.
Did you see the video from the fans? There was a fan video of that, but the Arsenal players were telling them to throw it back up into the stands.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Whoever caught the ball. And then it was Kepa kicked the ball back onto the pitch, just like booted it.
I think that was Calafiori.
No, there was a video from behind. He got booked, but it was actually Kepa that had done it. That's why Calafiori was laughing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, he gets booked. The two managers get booked.
Yeah.
Like, which, it's hard to figure out. I was trying to figure out which one of them was worse on the sideline last night.
That's the thing. I think the reason I don't mind it is because that's the type of thing Simeone would be at. So he was doing matching from about
20 minutes out. Maybe the cameras were picking it up.
I think he was just
more
animated as opposed to, like, if you looked at that Arsenal thing at the end, they had, their bench was emptied in terms of the players. You had Arteta's blocking Atletico players getting to the ball. You had, how many Arsenal coaches do you need out in the touchline? Like, their entire bench was empty. Have a bit of decorum. Like, you're not part of the game.
I think
the players on the pitch play the game.
I think if we were saying this about Arsenal on a cold Tuesday night at Molyneux or wherever, I think I'd have some understanding for what you're saying, but I think in that environment where
it's
it is a game
killed,
of small
it?
Inches I yeah. think
I actually think it's great management.
Would you see company do it?
Does that matter though?
It kind of does. Like, would you see Luis Enrique do it? Would you see company do it?
Why does that matter though?
Because we're talking about the Champions League here. We're talking about the fact that, it's the Champions League semi-final. Of course they're going to be doing it. But you're not going to see company and Luis Enrique.
I think the end justifies the means as well. Yeah. I think, a couple of people have made the point here. The game was not a pretty spectacle last night. And Arsenal were absolutely... Sorry, I was going to say they were hanging on at the end. They probably were, but it wasn't as if Atletico were necessarily like carving out
they
unbelievable
created,
chances.
They
had a couple of penalty shouts that were probably legit. There was one of them particularly that absolutely should have been a pen, and then the one where Griezmann gets stood on as well, and another one where your man Simeone was through, and I don't know how he doesn't manage to either score, or, like, you never see a player in that position either they score or they get a penalty. Like, it was actually incredible that the net result was the ball went out for a corner, I think it was.
Yeah, and Gabriel did quite well there.
But there was an element to the game last night where everybody knew they were hanging on. And the 5 minutes goes up, there was a bit of indifference. It felt in terms that fans were kind of like, okay, we can't really groan at that, but equally have to hang on here. I think that was the context. And I think within all of that, you probably do whatever you can. Like, Arteta's not the most likable person to begin with. And I think that kind of feeds into it. But I do think that what happened last night at the sideline, I give him a bit of a pass.
I think it's a bit far. Like, I genuinely don't even think you would see that from Mourinho back in the day. That's how far... He's gone beyond that. The thing that annoys me a little bit about it is because there's obviously... Like, Arsenal fans really want this team to be loved. And they probably deserve to be loved. Like, if you look at the stats from last night, Arsenal are unbeaten in Champions League this year. They have 11 wins, 3 draws. They have 41 wins this season. That's the most... Mm-hmm. They've won the most games ever, joint record with the 1970-71 team. The Arsene Wenger's best record was 39 wins in 60 games. Arteta has done that in 59 games. He's actually won more games. He's won more of... more games than Arsene Wenger has ever done. They've had 30 clean sheets this season, 41 goals, best defence in Europe this season. But instead of talking about that, we end up talking about the ugliness of how they conduct themselves. And that is why people don't...
I wouldn't say it's ugly. I have to say, I'm going to go as far as to say, I actually really enjoy it.
Yeah.
Like, particularly, when we were texting last night, that's what Champions League football is all about. It is.
So would you rather see that or the game last week where we had proper football on the pitch?
I'm not going down the Kenny Cunningham route here, but like, I think it was needs must. Arsenal are hanging on. Arteta's like, what can I possibly do to impact this stuff? Now listen, actually, the net result was it ended up not being 5 minutes, it could have been 7 minutes in the end, and probably a lot of that was to do with the palaver that was going on the sideline.
Yeah.
So whether it actually helped or not is probably another valid question. But
listen, I'm from Donegal. I'm not against the dark arts. Everyone knows that. I enjoy hard tackling. I enjoy actually the physicality of the game.
Yeah.
I'm not against Arsenal's defensive style of play too much, and I'm not against a little bit of dark arts. I just think Arteta genuinely interferes with the game. And I think if you're interfering with the game to that point, something needs to be, a bit of cop on needs to be had, like, you know?
Yeah.
And the whole thing, you do what you need to do to win the game. Do you think that's going to matter if PSG go and stick 3 goals in the net in the first half?
I think whatever he did yesterday has been the issue I have. That's already been justified, whatever he did yesterday. In his head, at least, and within the group, because job done. In the final, Kara O'Leary says Arteta showed courage in the last 2 weeks that we haven't seen in 2 years. Miles Lewis-Skelly and Calafiori were brave calls, and he did it. The team are starting to click and finding Jokeres where he's most dangerous. Noel Cahill can't stand Arteta and Gabriel, but by God, they're a proper team.
Yeah,
you know,
that's the thought I had myself and Matthew were texting about the game, and I was like, you kind of said that this is like an awful watch, but I was like...
No, I said they're a horrible bunch.
A horrible bunch. You went as far as to say that.
Addictive text.
I was trying to actually help you out there. Yeah. And I said, yeah, but it's mightily impressive though. Like what they're doing. Yeah. I actually was watching them. Like I haven't been a fan of them this season, their style of play, but like I was impressed last night. Like the way, to be fair, the crowd was getting behind them for the occasion that it was. And the players were kind of revving up the crowd when, you know, a clear ball was made or whatever, a tackle went in. And I haven't really seen that this season from them. Like, it is a Champions League semi-final, so you expect that kind of atmosphere. But, yeah, I didn't mind watching them last night. And that's the first time I'll probably say that this season.
Yeah,
I enjoyed that game last night.
Yeah, I have good time for, as you were saying, about like the game we got with PSG and Bayern Munich. And then, which would you rather? And, like, obviously, I would rather PSG, Bayern Munich. But there is room for both. But I know what you mean. It is quite jarring looking at them a lot of the time. But as a means to an end for last night, I think you do what you have to do. And
yeah.
I kind of said that earlier, like you kill or be killed. And as annoying as it is, they got over the line. They're the ones in the Champions League final. So and Arsenal fans are funny to be like, you know, they're very much, we don't care if you like us. We don't care if we're entertaining.
Yeah.
We're not here to entertain you. We're here to win. I do think subconsciously they do. There is a bang of, we want to be enjoyed here. We want a bit of credit for what we're doing. We want to be recognised for the team that we are, and they're obviously not getting that. So, we'll see how it turns out for them. I think they'd be heavy underdogs for whoever they come up against in the final. I think they'd probably rather, the Bukayo Saka thing was slightly odd last night when he was saying, you know who we'd rather face? It's like, do we? But I assume
it's not that obvious.
I assume he means they want to get a bit of revenge on PSG, but I reckon PSG would be a tougher game for them than perhaps Bayern would be, but both games will be difficult.
Yeah. Interesting to see how they play against either of those teams.
Yeah. I think a real marker of Arsenal, and it sounds stupid to say after them getting out of a Champions League semi-final and into a final, will be this West Ham game at the weekend. Because we've seen them come up short in games like this time and time again, and now that the ball is firmly in their court as far as the Premier League goes, they're going to have to really show a bit now at the weekend that, okay, we are the Premier League champions and we are this team that can go and win the Champions League, because they've shown everything up until that already. But now they need to go and do it, because even last year in the Champions League they did pretty well. They ran PSG as close as anyone else did.
Like, I looked it up there, I forgot that they'd beaten Bayern 3-1 earlier this season.
You played them off the park that day, you know
what I mean? Maybe that's what he's talking about. We want to do the double.
Yeah, we enjoyed that game so much. Yeah.
Do it was so easy.
They did. I saw somebody, one of the many pundits last night, saying that that's irrelevant. Who knows?
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, but they have it in them to go out and play that type of game against Bayern.
Damien Duff and Wayne Rooney were very much aligned last night in the aftermath. I must say, it was sort of quietly in my head as I was watching the celebrations unfold, and they all link arms and they run down towards the fans, and there is this jolly nature to their celebrations that was befitting of a team that had won the tournament, was sort of what I felt. But then it had sort of, I did understand it as well, particularly like given all the stuff, the context, what we're talking about how it all unfolded, the mad stuff at the end of the game. But yeah, both of those were saying, this is, pack this in. Like, you've just won a semi-final, you've just qualified for the Champions League final. What the hell are you doing? Like, save this until you win the thing. Thought it was a bit...
It's in front of their home fans.
I did slightly. This is the most on the fence comment now that I'll hopefully make all morning. But I did actually understand a little bit of what they were saying, and then equally understood why. It felt to me the outpouring was probably a little bit linked to what had happened the night before, as in they're on a bit of an emotional roller coaster at the minute. They looked like as if the momentum was against them in the Premier League. Suddenly it swung back. Suddenly they're in a Champions League final. And it felt to me to be a little bit of a culmination of all of those things.
Yeah, I don't really like the fun police when in these scenarios. Like, the ex-pros love to act as if they were like, all right, cheers,
nonchalant,
shake it off, walk on to the next one. I mean, a win is a win, a semi-final of the Champions League. You get into the Champions League final, you're going for the double, you've got three matches to go in the league. I think the Arsenal fans the Arsenal players have earned the right to celebrate. Now, like, a lot of this will come back to perspective and retrospective when you're looking back at it.
Yeah.
If they don't win the Premier League and if they don't win the Champions League, they'll look to these celebrations and say, oh, you got too high there.
Yeah.
But if they go and win the Premier League, even if they don't win the Champions League, I mean, they'll still be saying, the celebrations were worth it. It was a roller coaster of a season. This was a turning point.
And you have to enjoy your moments.
The moments. Yeah.
I think people look at it very black and white. I think you can enjoy those type of things and still go out and win a game the next week or the week after.
I have no issue with the celebration.
Like, are you not allowed to celebrate a Premier League win because ultimately you haven't won the league yet?
They probably did go, I'll get off the fence now a little bit, they probably did go like a touch too far,
But it's in front of the home fans though. Like,
really?
I don't think they did.
They probably did go a touch too far. It definitely had a tone, like even... Rice's interview with was it Prime last night where he comes out, like, definitely it all had the bit, like I do understand the vast majority of it. I'm really just talking, there's probably like a 10% layering on of stuff where at some point they should have gone, somebody should have been coming out going, but listen, you know, it's not, as a fan you loved it. We were talking about it, about Mark McHugh earlier in the year, where, and the similarities are all there, lads, right? You know, 20 year famine. But my point being that, like, when he came out and he said, like, the stuff about, you know, Westmead need to belong in this, it was, and like, there was every reason to get equally just as carried away about qualifying for a big Leinster final.
Yeah.
But, you know, the point
it's on
being...
the same level.
It is. Listen, I feel it is. I think Matthew might feel it is.
Yeah. I think it's bigger.
but it sort of needed somebody in the room to be going, we won nothing yet.
Are you saying Westmead did that? Do you not remember the celebrations after the meet?
Sorry, Adrian, I have to rein you in a bit here. I have to rein you in a wee bit here.
What are you on about?
The Westmead comparison is... Westmeath have done the exact same thing.
Yeah.
We were out on the pitch after winning the Leinster semi final.
But the match same thing. Okay, okay. Anyway,
yeah. Right. I have,
your man with the pyro.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly, which was great. But no, I have no problem. I don't think that Arteta's going in there and they're all having a big jolly up and it's like, look what we are, we're great, we're brilliant. Mm. There is going to be a bit of that, because they've so many times they've gotten to not exactly this position. Obviously, they haven't gotten to the final of the Champions League and they haven't been in as strong a position as they are now in the Premier League with three games to go and it totally in their hands and they're playing three teams who they should be beating and at any other point in the season would be beaten. He's very much firmly, I would imagine, in the dressing room going,
yeah,
we want to get over the line this time.
Yeah. On a serious note, does it impact on, like, obviously a big game on Sunday and like that aspect of the season, like the emotional high that they're on at the minute, the nature of the game, like, is there a bit of that anybody feels impacts on? Listen, we'll find out obviously on Sunday, but
again, it is one of them, isn't it? Like, yeah, it depends how it goes and then we'll be able to know after.
I don't know.
Yeah, but like, we've 2.5 hours to fill, Matthew. So
I don't really know if it falls into the same category as, you know, like down, put everything into their win against Donegal and nothing left in the tank then when it came to Armagh. Like, we're talking about the top level elite team in the Premier League playing against a relegation candidate, probably favourites to be going down this season now.
Yeah.
So I don't think Arsenal will have any issue with that. I think they'll actually just carry this momentum in. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Arteta just stick with this team now until the end of the season. Like, Miles Lewis-Skelly playing centre midfield, it's a very interesting move. I thought he was really good last night and he was brilliant at the weekend as well. And just the way that they're playing, there's no point in changing anything right now because they've got the momentum. And as much as you're saying, the reverse of this could, you know, could they get too high and fall flat in their arses this Sunday? They could, or they could bring this in and absolutely thump West Ham at the weekend and carry that on until Burnley and carry it on to the end of the season. So, I mean, if I was an Arsenal fan, I would be excited for the first time. I think this is the first time Arsenal fans can probably say, okay, yeah, this looks like
this is
going to end the way that we want to this year.
Yeah. Do you play the likes of Saka in every game now for the rest of the season?
Probably wouldn't play him against Burnley.
Yeah.
You might change your mind against Burnley.
Now, there is,
and you get
there
him, is an you 8 get him day off gap. As, between, you get him off as quick as you can.
There's an 8 day gap between West Ham and Burnley. Two fixtures. So it's not like.
Too bad.
They're not back to back.
You'll
to
get
back.
Away with that, yeah.
Yeah.
It depends what Nicky's in, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you know, like, even looking at the bench last night.
Strong.
Cappy, Odegaard, Madueke, Supermendy.
Cappy was great last night.
Martinelli. Like, suddenly they have a bit of depth there.
They've had depth. It's just they haven't been playing well.
Yeah, but starting Lewis-Skelly, obviously they've had a couple of injuries.
Yeah.
They're not losing anything by bringing those players off the bench.
Yeah, well, I think they have the strongest squad in England, but like a decent stretch.
Mm. It's a good point Rob makes there in the comments too, that Brentford will play City beforehand.
I think that could be a...
So if Brentford gets something out of City there...
When is that game? Yeah. That game is... Very soon. I should have that information before I wandered on that path.
This weekend,
what's going to happen?
It's Saturday.
Big fan of Adam's work in the comments there as well. I don't know if you've seen this. He's put in what a week, Yop Westmead. Three times.
A few times there,
Three times. Yeah. Just in case anyone missed it. So.
Anybody else who wants to get aboard the bandwagon?
We're taking all right now.
It's Saturday evening, 5:30.
Yes.
So what's going to happen tonight and Real Madrid eating themselves alive again in the shape of Kylian Mbappe. Split camp. Statement's been released. What's anybody want to jump in on any of that? What's going to happen tonight is probably who the hell knows, right? On the basis of predictions here are kind of meaningless.
Like,
I'm going to say we're not going to get a 5-4 again.
I
don't think we're going to get that.
But on a serious note, on the basis of what? Because like neither team feels all that sort of inclined to defend.
They'll have made adjustments, I'd imagine. Yeah.
So why wouldn't they have done that the last day?
Like mid game, very difficult,
or even preempting that the opposition
who would have made the adjustment? Like Bayern were conceding, they were down 5-2. You can't make that adjustment at that point because you need to score goals.
Yeah.
So, like, I'd imagine they'll have seen holes in their own game from the last game, as good as it was. It's obviously been highlighted how poor they were defensively. I'd say we're still going to get 4 or 5 goals, I'd imagine. When you have players of that quality, they can kind of shoot from anywhere.
I think an absolute drubbing on one end or the other is equally as possible as a 3-all draw. Like I could see Bayern, or I could see PSG winning this game like 4-1.
Yeah.
Or who's more likely, do you think, is a PSG?
Yeah, I actually thought before the first leg that this leg PSG would revel in.
Yeah.
Bayern being at home and kind of having that front, more, if you can say that they could be possibly more front-footed, it would be at home. Although they were incredibly front-footed the last day, I think PSG would be able to get at their defence. I think 1v1 defending, PSG would probably be slightly stronger, although that wasn't totally the case the last day. Again, I mean, I honestly could not care less what happens. I'm just going to watch it and enjoy it.
Don't need to get aboard the coaching, the pundit train, former coaches or players who are all wringing their hands about the 5-4 nature of the game. We can all just feel
this
is good.
But that was nonsense as well, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I don't think there was actually many defensive errors that led to
the 9 goals.
Yeah, there was just like.
Well, there was a few penalties.
There wasn't so much errors as there were just fellas not doing anything. Do you know what I mean? Like,
is that not an error?
Because he didn't have a chance to make the error. They were just getting past them. Like, it was just really good attacking play, but at the same time,
there was just a lack of.
There was one moment.
Defending.
Upamecano makes a great tackle on
Dembele.
That's good defense. There was just one example of that.
That situation
in the game.
Should never occur. Like, where you're on the halfway line and there's a 1v1. Like that. It's great. Yeah. It's a great watch, of course. There is something slightly jarring about it when teams are just running through all the time. Like, I get the idea behind people not getting totally sold on it being the greatest game of all time or whatever, but. I mean, we don't need to have those conversations.
We don't.
We can just enjoy it for what it is.
Are we not just being undersold in the Premier League?
Oh, 100%. That goes without saying.
We've grown too accustomed to physical games and, the tightness of the games and the players also always being tired.
But that's the other side of it.
So they can't give their all, whereas I think that it was the perfect storm in that you had two amazingly good attacking sides that, they don't really care that too much about giving up chances, and
probably
the players
a couple
were well rested ahead of the game.
Yeah, probably a couple of goalkeeping errors, I would say, more notably than defensive errors. Didn't think Safonov covered himself in glory.
Yeah, Neuer didn't make a single save in that game.
But
Sean O'Brien, Yock was good last night, but Arsenal are an awful team to watch. Hope they're beaten in the finals. Football can be the winner. There's an awful lot of Arsenal fans who I think in our comments this morning will take umbrage possibly with that.
Not happy with me.
No, a lot of them are very unhappy with you. Yeah. It's fair enough to say.
So when you take on the Arsenal, this is what happens.
Adrian on his burner there in the YouTube comments.
Well, I'm just sort of scrolling
Adrian
past.
Adrian on his burner.
I'm scrolling past all of that. Anyway, there's loads of other football stuff, but we might have to come back to that in a bit because we'll have Keith with us in just over 10 minutes' time and we'll get back into the football. But we might talk a little bit of GAA, a couple of interesting bits today. Darragh O'Shea in the Irish Times. All-Ireland draw should never have been held the week of the provincial final. So it's the Jack O'Connor bit that have been doing the rounds, obviously, over the last couple of days where he was saying that, like, this is kind of taking precedent. Now I'm sat in a press conference and it's ahead of the Munster final and you're asking me about the first round or whatever the hell it's called, round 2 ABC of the... whatever the series is called. And I do kind of get that. Darragh O'Shea is saying, there's another issue as well. He says, the way it is now, you're nearly punishing teams for getting to their provincial final. Donegal, Meath, Tyrone and Kildare all got knocked out of their provinces early, but now they get 3 weeks to study their opponents, including a full bore, all cards on the table, provincial final in the middle of it. And talking about, obviously, Jim McGuinness and his Donegal staff will be in Killarney on Sunday, and then obviously applies the same logic to all the other teams as well. Robbie Brennan at Croke Park.
As Westmead men, obviously myself or Enda can't speak to it at the minute.
Yeah.
Do you feel punished?
You can't speak about being Westmead people at the minute.
No, we can't speak about being in a provincial final.
To be honest
final.
With you, I don't. I feel like... Yeah. Isn't to say that it's not a punishment. I'm just overtaken by a wave of happiness and delight about the position we're in, and I can't even entertain the idea of any of this not being good.
I'm totally with you, but we're not the
target audience.
They're not the the right case study here.
Yeah.
The right case study is Galway, is Dublin, is Armagh probably to a point, maybe not because they haven't won it, so maybe they're a bad example too. But the teams who are constantly getting to provincial finals, who maybe haven't got the novelty, is probably the wrong word, but like the excitement that we would have for it.
Yeah.
Those are ones you'd be questioning. The only thing is, I would say the GAA or whoever has decided to make the format like this are equating home advantage to 3 weeks prep time. And that's your the thing you're getting as a reward for reaching a provincial final is that. But I would just be interested to know if it was a conscious decision from the creators of this new format.
About the timing of the draw?
No, because I believe the counties actually requested that.
I think a lot of... Kerry, apparently, in one of the papers says today, was not one of those counties.
Okay.
You might be surprised to hear. Yeah, but a lot of the others did, because it was to a prep time for the players and to give fans time.
But I would just be keen to know if it was a conscious decision to essentially make the provincial finals redundant as regard to the All-Ireland series.
Well, they're not totally redundant, but the outcome of the final
is totally redundant. That is, and that, I'd be keen to know, because if that is a conscious decision to distance them, then that would indicate that maybe something else is coming further down the line as far as the provincial championships go. But
I think it's the squeezed format as well doesn't help. As in, the ultimate answer to what you're saying is to give them another week. Right, to give the winners particularly, that's your reward, is to get another week off. But then obviously you start looking at the calendar and that becomes difficult.
I'd be very careful about putting more importance on the league than on the provincial championships personally. Maybe that's just myself as an Ulster football fan. I've always valued the Ulster championship way above the league, in that if league position matters way more to where you end up in the All-Ireland, that's an issue for me.
Well, Cavan have such a good pedigree as well. Like, I mean, you know, they're royalty, really, when you think about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. They know all about when I
get
started.
Can't you just take my point seriously?
You can't just take my point
seriously.
I was getting real with you there for a second.
They actually do that.
He was about to rise to it there.
They've won the most amount of Ulsters.
We have as well. Like, it's not even a joke.
Yeah. That wasn't even a joke.
I think we could make a super clip out of Dara, like, supremacy. Cabin supremacy over there.
What I would say though,
on the week where we've done nothing but talk about Westmeath,
just on your point about the outcome of the provincials, is that the outcome of the provincials shouldn't really be to set yourself up with a nice game in the All Ireland Championship. The outcome of the provincials is to win the provincials.
That's
your reward, is winning the provincial title.
I think
players aren't looking at the provincials as a means to jumping on to the, like, except for maybe Kerry players.
That's the problem there.
David mentioned that last week in his comments.
Yeah.
But players in most provinces are looking at it, this is a chance to win a trophy. This isn't a chance to set up a nice match in the All-Ireland series.
100%.
But on Dara's comments, the one thing I found very interesting was that...
I'm sitting right here.
The fact that he's saying that you're given a team a chance to prep for 3 weeks for a game and sort of give an advantage to them. It's almost as if the draw was made and everybody who's in a provincial final has been blind to it.
Yeah.
And only the teams and everyone else are aware of who they're playing. They also have that time to prep for these games. They also know who they are playing. They will still be working towards those games, even with the provincial finals to prepare for. So it's like, it hasn't been done in the dark here. Like, Kerry are aware of who they're playing.
I would just worry that over time, if it became a case of, so as you say, the reward for winning the provincial finals is winning the provincial championship. And I would just worry that over time, if certain counties that are winning it all the time decide to stop taking it, as you mentioned with the Kerry lads or whatever, as seriously, then it actually becomes less of a carrot for the teams below that, because I think you're right. If Dublin aren't taking it seriously for the next 5 years for whatever reason and start playing trying out lads and keeping lads fit and holding lads back because they want to target winning in All-Ireland, then it becomes less of a reward for the counties that maybe, like your Louds, like your Meads, like your Westmeads, like your Wexfords, and they go on and win it. And maybe that novelty, if they do win it once or twice, then it's like, okay, and then eventually 5-10 years down the line is the provincial championship gone, which I personally would hate to see, because I get a great kick out of it.
Well, that's the fundamental problem with the entire thing. It means something to some and not a lot to others.
Yeah.
That it's an unbalanced competition.
Yeah.
It's not like our unfair comparison earlier where the Champions League, everybody actually desperately wants to win it.
That would be my worry, that someone doesn't desperately want to win it.
Everyone has to be all in for it to matter.
Yeah, but they already don't, and that's not even a today or yesterday thing. You know, it's outside of Ulster and absolutely Connacht, And even that over the last few years, Galway are going for five in a row.
Yeah,
you know, that doesn't matter so much to Galway anymore as it would obviously to the rest.
I think that's more of a spread issue, though, isn't it? Like, if you like, Ulster has the spread, that's why people care. Leinster now have the spread. Louth have won it. Meath have been in the final. Meath really want to win it. Dublin really want to win it this year. Westmeath are now in the final. So you've got a spread of teams who do actually
want. I think Dublin really only really want to win it.
Because they didn't win last year.
Not for the sake of winning Leinster, but just to again prove to people that the Louth game wasn't a one-off, that the Dubs are back. Like, I think the trophy itself, you know, 18 in 20 years or whatever the hell it is, and it's not even an exaggeration. I think it's probably roughly
19 and 21.
I think it'll matter to these Dublin players, because that means it'll be a trophy that they have now won themselves, not the list of players who have 19 million All-Ireland titles between them are still part of it. And Connacht again, the Rossies really want to win it. So we're only looking at Munster with Kerry, who are dominating. If Munster had a little bit more spread than that, the provincials are wide open and you've got more teams that are more interested in it.
I think you might get there with Donegal.
Donegal always want to win Ulster.
I could see down the line that happen.
That's more my point. I don't know exactly about Donegal, but I would worry where it ends up. I think now it's fine. I think teams still want to win it now, absolutely 100% they do, but I would just worry that if it is a conscious decision to do this, to distance them, I wonder what maybe happens down the line.
Someone's going
to
bring it up in a meeting sometime.
Do the provincial championships happen before the league? Are they a completely different style thing? I think did someone mention like an FA Cup type thing yesterday? I don't know who was saying that, but I wouldn't like that. And that would be my concern, that if it becomes distant, if there's no direct relationship between the provincial championships and... or a lessened direct relationship between the provincial championships and the provincial finals and the All-Ireland series, that leaves the opportunity there to actually take it, move it in the calendar to somewhere else, and then it completely loses what it's supposed to be or what it was intended to be, I think.
Say if Donegal win it for the next 2 years and has no bearing on where they end up in the All-Ireland, someone, I think, in that backroom team probably brings it up in a meeting at some point. What are we getting from this?
No chance.
Do you think I think that's a real conversation that would happen?
You see,
down
that's the Cavan supremacy.
We've just won so many.
Anybody who's been anywhere near a dressing room knows that if you're in a competition, you're in it to win it. It doesn't matter like how many times you've won it. You want to win the competition.
The competition is not the provincial thing. I suppose, but I'm more thinking about it through Dublin of 3 years ago lens, where it had just become a matter of course that
you're not even lifting the cup with two hands. You're just one hand. You're throwing it up there. You don't really care.
Do you not think they would have cared if they lost?
I think
if they had ultimately won the All Ireland, that was the thing.
Yeah,
you know, like they'd very quickly go from, well, that was disappointing, but let's refocus and, you know.
Yeah, it's not going to impact. If it doesn't impact the rest of the season, like, you can shake it off, but it'll matter to the players. Like,
John Fogarty is saying in the Examiner today about the Kerry Donegal game, the broadcast rights been up for grabs, which I thought was an interesting one. Been expected, he says, that RT would seek the Killarney fixture for the 4 o'clock slot on Saturday, May 23rd. However, the previous contract for the All-Ireland series no longer applies because the structure changed from the group stages to the enhanced qualifier system, and GAA Plus could yet stream the repeat of last year's final. So I think that looks like a very real proposition, which I know will have people up in arms.
The rod for their own back, isn't it?
Yeah.
GAA have created.
Yeah, but I also kind of do understand slightly how it's come about, obviously, but when you've only got one free-to-air option, then that's what you're going to run into. Martin Brownlee, by the way, says, down with this bad system. It's unfair on many levels. He says, winning Division 3 and beating Donegal, not enough to get into the race for Sam. It's the case for Down, really. They've done very well. They've won 11 of their last 16 championship and league games. I'd say that's more league than it is championship, but there we go. Obviously getting promoted to Division 2. They beat Donegal. And, like, it's an interesting one. He kind of rolls Wexford into it there slightly as well, obviously having been promoted from Division 3. It's an interesting one, but then equally, isn't it good that there's a bit of angst from somebody feeling they should be in it, and that it's not like...
Yeah,
it's not like a World Cup and there's a place for everybody.
I can definitely understand why you would feel a little bit hard done by if you were Down, in the sense that, I mean, the Down-Westmead comparison is there because they were in the league together. Down went up, Westmead didn't. They both went into the provincial championships. Down had to play Donegal and Armagh. Westmead had to play Longford, Meath and Kildare.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to tell you who had a tougher run there. And Westmead end up in the championship.
He wasn't saying Westmead should be out of it.
I'd have led
with that.
I get that. No, of course, yeah. and I would have seen it before now too, but I get that. And I'm more coming at it from the point of, if you're from down and you're looking at it going, like, we should be in there.
Yeah,
I would understand it. Yeah. But at the same time, like, it hasn't caught anyone off guard how the system works and how, what you had to do to get in there, and they didn't manage to
correct.
Do that.
That's a shame. I think that's the
that's a shame for them, but that's just the way
and
it is.
I've always
maybe
felt
it might change, you know?
On the many times over the last few years with Westmeath, like, where they might have been close to getting in and then weren't, or were in and then were out. Yeah. If you're not in, then you don't deserve to be in, and it's, you, as you said, everybody kind of knows the rules.
Yeah. But. Like, for a team like Down to finish, like, they should be in Division 2. Like, they shouldn't have ended up in Division 3.
Yeah.
So they've done that to themselves to a point. Yeah. In my opinion.
Yeah, in that Cavan are there because they managed to stay up.
Exactly,
the last
few
years. And
are Cavan a better team than Down? Probably not.
Yeah.
But they managed to stay up, so.
I would be interested, and I was saying this to be pretty sure, like, I would be interested to hear someone out on maybe a change in the split between the Talent Cup and the Sam Maguire. But again, as in the split is 16-16.
Oh, okay, so.
If, like, and again, it would take away from that sort of angst, as you say, or not angst, I suppose, the tension that comes with a game that Down have. It's like, oh, if they win here and then Westmeath lose and whatever.
I thought that's great.
It is great, you know, for sure. And you wouldn't want to lose that. But at the same time, that being said, I wouldn't want the format to be changing again, because it's just changed already.
I know it's not Down that are saying this. It's Martin Browning.
Yeah,
of course. Yeah.
Well, there might be a few people
Definitely are.
Well, I mean, the easiest solution to this is go win the Tottenham Cup.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, if they're too good to be in the Tottenham Cup, go win it.
Guarantee yourselves a place, yeah.
It feels like there's a spirit of party about Mark McHugh. Matthew, I'll put it to you.
I'm having a big time, yeah.
It feels that way, doesn't it? Like, it's somebody who's come in. I was trying to see what was on the wristband, and then I was watching back Jonathan Higgins' interview with him afterwards, and he had the Westmeath crest on the white wristband
inside. They all have the wristband.
Have they? Okay.
Yeah, I was chatting a couple of lads after a game. They all have this wristband. They've some little message on it. I don't know what it means, but they've like initials and stuff. Like, so there's a lot of buy-in in there. There's something going on there. But yeah, he was brilliant on the line. Like I mentioned before, like, the putting the Leinster semi-finals in the smaller grounds has been like revolutionary. Yeah. Like, it's been brilliant. And about a minute to go in extra time, Westmeath are 4 points up, and Mark McHugh's coming out of dugout and he's walking down the line, he's looking up the terrace and he's giving it loads to the Westmeath fans and all. So it was he's great. And his words after every game have been they did grip you. Like,
they've been spot on.
As a Westmeath man, he's met the pitch of what we've needed, I think, for quite some time. I mean, take none away, like, Jack Cooney did incredible groundwork there too, and that shouldn't be forgotten about at all. Like, you know, most of them lads he brought through creating the Maroons or whatever, he made the programme underage. They got lads in when they were 16, 17 and got them up to speed, and I mean that's bearing fruit now. But Mark McHugh's done an amazing job, and they definitely have a bit more of a grit about them that maybe they didn't have last year when Mark McHugh was obviously there too, but that he's taking the reins now.
Oh, it definitely feels
great. It feels like there's something happening.
He's met the moment.
It's easy to say that now, but we'll see.
But it feels like, you know, I think there's a lot of people from, you know, counties that are, you know, far superior to Westmeath, the likes of Donegal and Cavan, that we've talked about earlier, like, you know, even in relation to the Donegal stuff, but like there can be, I think when you're following a team like Westmeath for so many years, you and me have been texting about this probably for the last 6 or 9 months, and there's like, if you look back over the feed, there's some saucy language in there, and, you know, a frustration of following this team and the pitfalls that come with something like that. And it's, you know, there's another probably dozen teams that are in the tier that Westmeath are in, like a Tipperary or a Clare or a Wexford or a Limerick, maybe Roscommon are slightly beyond that. Kildare are absolutely in that, even though I think they have notions to think that they're not, but they're 100% there. Louth are probably in there, but are at the top end of that at the minute. There's a cohort of counties there that exist in this absolute purgatory of torture where it's a roller coaster. Every single season is a roller coaster ride of promotion, relegation,
near misses,
managers in, managers out, couple of key players getting injured, near misses all the way, and ultimately failure, right? And I'm not talking about like winning provinces, and I'm not talking about winning on Ireland's, because success at counties like ours is nothing to do with that.
No.
It's about, this is already success for Westmeath, and I'm not even placating my right honourable friend over here with that one.
And not this to cut you off, right, but Mark McHugh would take your head off for saying that.
He would, and he'd be 100% right, but I think when I stick the fan hat on, I've had, you know, brilliant interactions with my family and friends around this.
Yep.
And they're absolute the spirit of 2004 about the whole thing, and the spirit of Paddy about Mark McHugh. And
it's not too long since Donegal were in that position.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
things can change pretty quickly if you get your house in order. I'd say you're probably looking at 18 years since Donegal were in that position, and then Jim McGuinness came into the viewpoint and worked his way through the under 21s
and his proteges.
Just a fellow, yeah, from that team.
Here we are now.
Have you? I'll be honest with this question.
Oh, Jesus.
Have you,
I'm always
is,
honest.
Is there any point in the last 2 or 3 days where you've projected forward to later in the summer and wondered what you're doing in late July and whether thing the events might impact?
No, not that far ahead. I actually peek behind the curtain here. I booked a holiday a couple of months ago, not thinking anything about the Leinster Championship, and I happened to be coming home on the Sunday morning of the Leinster final. So I'll be having a race from Dublin Airport to the Croke Park.
Ah, well, you couldn't
so
be.
If anyone sees me, don't stop me.
Be the finest of journeys. Mm. We were going to talk John Rabb, but we've no time for that. Lads, thanks a million for that.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50mg film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150mg tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.